will be from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. Why was a Savior needed? And what was the saving from? And when we look at what Cameron has just read, why all the drama? I mean, heavenly hosts, an announcement from an angel, praise of God. The Savior who the angel announced was an infant by the name of Jesus. When Jesus would grow into adulthood, he would not save people from illnesses that would be debilitating. He would not save people from demon possession. He would not save people from physical death. Not all people, that is. Oh, he did some, to be sure, but not all people. He would not save them from the overbearing and all-powerful Roman Empire. In fact, he would not save them from any other human forces. He would save them, those people who believed in him, that is, he would save them from the eternal effects of sin, from eternal punishment, from separation from God, and from eternal spiritual death. Jesus is Savior. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As a result, every person needs Jesus to save them from their sins. The reminder to Christians in Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7 really speaks to every person, whether Christian or non-Christian, when it says, "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life." When you read those first few verses in that section, beginning verse 3 and 4, who wants to admit that that description of our condition outside of Christ is the condition you and I lived in? Not one of us really wants to admit that. Not one of us really wants to think about that. But a mature person, an honest person, realizes that that either has been or is a description of themselves. You and I have to reach that point where we realize, this is me. I hate to think about it. I hate to admit it. But it's me. We could sin less if we disciplined ourselves better. But the reality is, it's impossible for us not to sin. Not in some small way, actually not in some small ways, actually not in a whole host of small ways. We may be able to somehow avoid those big bad ones as we paint them, or society paints them, but we know deep in our hearts that we cannot, will not ever be sin-free. That's just not a possibility for us. And as little as and unimportant as we'd like to think our sins are, the reality is that our sins, whatever they are, however few they may be, however little we may want to view them as being, all of them, each of them, hurt our relationship with God. And they hurt every relationship that we have in life. Most importantly, they hurt our relationship with God because they cause us, every one of them, to reject Him and His pure and true ways. But in His kindness, His love, His mercy, His grace, and His generosity, all of those things spoken of in that passage, God has provided a way to save us, and that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Through Him, anyone, no matter how many sins, no matter how serious or great or horrible we may conceive those sins to be, God can and will wash them clean of those sins, to be renewed as God's child, to be justified as sinless. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 13 reminds Christians, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So there's a standard. God has brought us cleansing if we've obeyed Him. Verse 14 says, "Our Savior Jesus Christ gave Himself for us." Jesus said in John chapter 3, and verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." God gave His Son, which is what we really celebrate this day, December the 25th. God gave the greatest gift possible by giving His one and only Son to save people, all people, from the one thing that stands between them, that's you and I, and Him. And it boils down to one small word, sin. God gave this gift from His love of us. That's hard to take in, isn't it? God gave His one and only Son because He loved us so much. He sacrificed the most important person in His life, His Son, to save us as human beings. And to save every human being. The worst that you and I can think of, the worst that have been in our minds or in our lives, the worst in memory of our history, the worst, Jesus came to save. But the sacrifice was not God the Father's alone. It was also the self-sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. It was not only the Father's greatest gift then, it was also the Son's greatest gift. It was His life. Jesus once told His followers, "Greater love has no one than this." What, Jesus? That He laid down His life for His friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command." After having given so much, the Father giving so much, the Son giving so much, it seems so little to ask of us, doesn't it? That we simply obey what God has called for us to. Jesus is our sacrifice for our sins. Ephesians 5 and verse 2 reminds Christians, "Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 through 2 confirms that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' sacrificial death atoned or satisfied God's justice for the punishment of sins of the entire world. One sacrifice, one time, no other needed to atone or satisfy God for all of sin of all kinds, of all time, of all people on all this world. Romans chapter 2 and verses 25 through 26 explains this when it says this: God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus. Jesus sacrificed his life to give abundant eternal life to everyone who joyfully receives him, to everyone who joyfully believes in him, to everyone who joyfully obeys him. Christians are made holy through Jesus' sacrifice. Not simply forgiven, not simply clean, but holy. This means that every person who's a Christian has been set apart from everybody else who has not become a Christian. Set apart by God to live intentionally and distinctly as reflections of God our Father and as his children and heirs. Our holiness and reflection of God is impressed in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people who are his very own, eager to do what is good. To redeem is to buy back. Christians are redeemed from slavery to Satan and the sin he entices us to do. Jesus Christ's sacrificial death was the price that God paid to redeem every person from Satan and sin. God is just waiting on every single person to realize what he's done, what his son has done. He's waiting on every person alive to turn to him in humility and realize, I've sinned. I sinned against God. I sinned against others. I've sinned and messed my life up. I've sinned and separated myself from God. But God has given me this unimaginable gift, this sacrificial gift, this gift greater than any could give. And God has done it because he loves me. God has done it because he wants me to be like him in character. God has done it because he wants me to be his son, his daughter. He wants me to act like him in character. We can only be redeemed if we come to him. But God can only redeem us if he once owned us. We belonged to God before we rejected him in order to follow Satan and our own selfish ways. When we profess our belief in Jesus as God's Son, our Savior from sin, and the Lord of our lives, when we turn from our sins and are baptized into Christ, God buys us back from Satan. And then we're no longer slaves of Satan and sin, but instead Romans chapter 6 says, then we become slaves to God and slaves of righteousness. I don't know about you. I don't like the idea of slavery of any kind. The whole idea is extremely distasteful to me. But if I'm going to be slaves of somebody, and I will be because that's the nature of life, then I want to be a slave of God, and I want to be a slave of righteousness. I want to be a slave of the one who personifies righteousness, God himself. I want to be connected with him. I want to be like him in character in every way possible. Romans 3 and verse 22 and 23 explains, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so it is that Jesus is Redeemer, our personal Redeemer. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 through 21 reminds Christians, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." As we've examined God's holy word this month, we found out that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, Creator, Almighty King, Ruler, Judge, Prince of Peace, Sovereign, Lord, Servant of God, Good Shepherd, Guide, Protector, Provider, and Rewarder. The most immediately important to us, though, the reason that we make such a big day about the day of Jesus' birth, is that Jesus is our Savior, our sacrifice, and our Redeemer. All of those other titles and roles are extremely important, and we should not in any way belittle or minimize any of them. They're hugely important. But in terms of you and me, at our hearts, these are the ones that are most immediately important. Savior, sacrifice, Redeemer. Jesus' followers publicly professed, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." If we understand that we must be saved from the punishment that justice requires for our sins, and if we understand that the only way to receive salvation is through God's Son, Jesus the Christ, then we must believe in and obey only Jesus to be saved. Remember, there is no other name, no other person, no other being, no other philosophy, no other way than Jesus Christ. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. That was God's sacrifice. That is God's love. And it's for you and me. Do you believe in him? Have you turned from your ways to his ways? Have you had your sins washed away through baptism? Are you living a holy life with him? There could be no better way to change your life than today, making him your Lord and your Savior. And if we can help you in that, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.